Let me ask you a question, and then we're going to read Luke chapter 2. Where might be the best place to hide something? Look with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's watch.
There's a voice that calls life from unexpected places. Barren lands will flourish with new creation. There's one who is searching for the pure in heart, waiting to find those who will trust. So what choice will you make? Because it may feel like choosing between life and death.
Take her as your wife.
But look closer. All he has ever offered us is life.
Messiah.
You see, God has come to the most unlikely people, urging them to follow, asking them to trust. The stories have been told for centuries. The wait is nearly over. Today, our Savior is born. To bring light into dark places. To be the voice in the wilderness. To call you to come home. To bring joy to the world. God has chosen you, and he does not make mistakes. God's timing is not our timing. His love is not our love. He's turned his love into flesh and blood, and for that we rejoice. Emmanuel. So don't wait, don't pack, don't plan. Just go. There is a world lost and hungry. There is a world lonely and wandering, and he has called us to go and tell them. Go and tell them what God is doing. Go and tell them that God is coming. Go and tell them God is here.
The streets were full that day. The throng took on the appearance of a river of water after a heavy rain. The flow of people was constant. Shoulder to shoulder, people moved along. Some were carrying packages, obviously burdened down by their load as they trudged along, straining to keep from being walked over by others. Still others were trying to keep up with their children as they walked along in the flow of people. Some mothers carried their infant babies. Some were trying to keep hold of their youngster's hand as the child tried to pull away. The unfortunate ones were both carrying heavy loads of packages and trying to keep up with their children. Every once in a while, a recognizable face would come along. Now and then, folks would step into a merchant's shop for a brief respite in conversation. There would have been an exchange of the usual pleasantries about the weather, how many people there were, or something about families. Then off both would go, entering once again the swirling maelstrom of humanity. I wonder, did any of them recognize the joy? That could be a description of any mall in America or any big store in this area this past week. But really, it was a description of the streets of Jerusalem as Mary and Joseph made their way with their baby, the baby Jesus, to the temple. Did anybody recognize the joy before them? Do you? Did anyone in the street recognize the joy? Anyone in the street? My short answer is no. Mary and Joseph were some of the unfortunate ones. They both had a child, and they had their things. And they had the two animals that they were going to take to the temple to sacrifice. Jerusalem was a commercial and cultural center for the area, as well as the religious center. It was located not far from the King's Highway, which was the main north-south road in that part of the world. Maybe unfairly, but the characterization of hope of people in the street were those who did not have time for God. Their nose was as far as they saw. Satisfying their desires, their appetites was all they considered. They were their own measure. They had forgotten God's work in their lives. They were just too busy, too proud, too consumed with themselves to think of the Lord, to think of worshiping Him or recognizing the joy that He was sending into the world. Ruth Beeston didn't realize what she had. One day her husband came home from a local quarry with a piece of limestone carving, and Ruth really didn't think much of it until Wrinkle, her cat, died, and she was going to bury the cat. And she needed to have a proper marker as a headstone for the cat. And somewhere in the mix of all of that, an art expert was called. The local historian got involved. And in the words of one of them, it is a rare survivor of English stone carving at its best. That was the headstone. The former headstone for Wrinkle the Cat was a 1,000-year-old carving of the Apostle Peter, and it went on auction and sold for $383,000. Ruth didn't realize what was right before her. Maybe that describes you. First knock, Ted. Merry Christmas. As you celebrate Christmas this morning, do you really see what's right before you? The joy that is right before you. Maybe it's because you don't recognize the joy because you don't know Jesus personally as your Savior. You've gone to church, you've played church, but but you don't have that personal relationship with Him. For some, a chronic problem with that is that you become your own measure. As long as you're satisfied with you, as long as things are going the way you want them to go, you're okay. But all you know for sure is there's no joy in your life. And this morning we come to celebrate the coming of joy, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you recognize joy? Did anyone busy with temple work recognize the joy? I don't think anyone in the streets did because they didn't slow down long enough. But what about the people in the temple? And my short answer there is no, because there's a difference between doing church work and doing the work of the church. And there is a difference between going to church and being the church. And no doubt for many, there is a difference between the people milling about the temple were there for some of the same reasons. They went because they felt like that's what they were supposed to do. But the relationship wasn't there. And so here come Mary and Joseph. They were there to present their sacrifice, to obey the law, to do what the law said. And Jesus would encounter the same kind of people later when he would overturn the money changers and those selling the sacrifice animals. For them and for many, the Lord had just become an idea, a way of life, even a business, instead of this person to have a personal relationship with. Jack Benny's a name some of us remember and many of us do not. He was very proud of the fact that in his hometown of Waukegan, Illinois, a school was named after him. He made a point of visiting it and speaking to the children whenever he was in the area. Some 10 years after the school opened, Benny found himself addressing a class of 12-year-olds. When his speech was over, he asked if there were any questions. One little boy immediately put up his hands and said, "Mr. Benny, why did they name you after our school?" And maybe that's the way it is for you. You've gotten the order of things all mixed up. Christianity, Jesus, has become an idea, a set of rules, a way of life. But is he your life? Do you have that personal relationship with him as a person? Maybe one of the things that's happened to you is you've allowed your priorities and understanding to become so distorted that you don't recognize the joy. Did anyone living in faith recognize the joy? And my answer is yes. There are two examples. One was Simeon. He was an older man. And the description of him was that he was righteous and devout. Then there was an older woman, Anna. She never left the temple. And what did it say? That she lived with her husband for 7 years, and so maybe she was 25. And by this point, I think it said that she was 84. And you think about that, 50-some, 60 years. And now she was living just at the temple, serving day and night, it says. These two look forward to what God was doing, what he would do. And they recognized Jesus that morning, that Jesus brought salvation, redemption, but also the fall and rise of many people. And that thoughts from the hearts would be revealed. Because they were people of faith, they recognized the joy. When I was about in high school, one day at the shop bench, I stood next to my dad, and he had taken a part off of a truck, and he stood there looking at it. He was a welder, and I was not, so he recognized. He looked at the piece for a minute, and all he said was, "Whoever did this was good." Well, it looked like a mess to me. But I didn't know enough to recognize. And that may be where some of you are. You've played church, you've heard about church, you can sing the Christmas carols, and you do all this stuff, but do you have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's the best place to hide something? Sometimes in plain sight. This morning, I hope the Lord Jesus Christ is not hidden to you just because he's in plain sight, because we celebrate Christmas. Do you know him? Do you know him?